Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. For all who thought this election season would never end, the end is finally in sight. Voters will decide it tomorrow. We're going to give Missouri and Illinois candidates and issues one final look on today's program. We'll begin with Illinois and move on to Missouri a little later. Joining us by phone are Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky and Joe Bustos, a reporter for the Belleville News Democrat. Thank you both so much for being with us today on what must be a busy day for both of you.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
Amanda, nice to talk to you again. I'll start with you, if I may. The conventional wisdom has it, Amanda, that Illinois is going to trend blue pretty much statewide this time. Is that in line with your thinking?
That is in line with our thinking. We are not like Missouri didn't have the pleasure, I guess you would call it, of hosting any debates. We did see Donald Trump and more of the other Republican candidates during the primary, where we were more in play. But since that point in time, really only just for a handful of fundraisers have Clinton and Trump been in the state lines. So pretty much in that blue territory. And if we are to make anything of early voting trends, which thus far have already surpassed records back when, obviously, President Barack Obama was last on the ticket and the home state candidate, those have already been surpassed. So if you look at that, that's particularly in the city of Chicago, which even more really leans Democratic and why Illinois is expected to go blue.
The last number I saw was 1.2 million early votes. Is that holding up or more been cast?
You know, I've got to go back and check. It's hard to get a statewide total. At least the State Board of Elections didn't have that. But I know there had been nearly double what we had seen for the last time around, at least in the Chicago from its Board of Elections.
Joe Bustos, what about your part of the state? Is that looking bluish to you or a little more purplish?
Well, I think it's gonna lean red, but there's more people up in the Chicago area, which is going to carry the state blue. You could see, our three downstate congressmen are all Republicans. So it's probably going to lean red, but not enough to even sway the electoral count, the electoral vote in the other direction.
You were commenting off the air that you've been impressed by the amount of money that's been spent.
Yeah, it's when you look at it from the state elections, you see all these ads that are commenting on Madigan and Rauner's agenda for all the state rep races, and you're wondering who the state where the state rep, who the candidates are, but it's really a proxy war about the Madigan and Rauner agendas and what could possibly happen with the General Assembly.
You're thinking the same way, I'm sure, Amanda.
Yeah, what I have said is I think it's interesting to see whether this is a proxy war for voters or just for reporters. If judging by the campaign ads themselves, yeah, it is all just, particularly Republicans have tried to make this a referendum on Madigan and to say that a vote for a Democratic legislator, particularly in the House, obviously, is a vote for Madigan and prolonging his power. They're hoping that that's going to win. We haven't seen that tactic work in years past, but I do think Madigan's name recognition has gone up. Always like to throw in the caveat, though, that you do have, and this is something that isn't measured really by all the heavy campaign contributions or by commercials, but that door-to-door and just the FaceTime, the home time that candidates give locally to local constituents and to voters. So whereas we see it as a proxy war, it may be that you had a candidate come to your door and you say, wow, I like that person. I like what they had to say. And that could change their vote at the overall ballot. Obviously, also, everything is thrown because of Trump at the top of the ticket. And there may be plenty of people that are dissatisfied with government that will carry on to whatever message and say, vote the incumbent out, whatever party they're at, or maybe in the suburbs areas where Republicans in Illinois are trying to win back spots from Democrats or hold on to them, they could be having more trouble because while Trump is seen as more popular downstate, obviously he won the Republican nomination here, less so in the suburban areas.
All right. Well, let's talk for a moment about the race at the top of the almost at the top of the ticket in Illinois, and that would be the Senate race. Everything that I've indicated seen has indicated that Mark Kirk is going to be out of a job. Is that your line of thinking as well?
Yeah, you know, that's what the polls say, and it is clear that he had an uphill battle, which is telling because actually he tried to show how up for the job he is, at least physically, by just Sunday morning climbing the Willis Tower, the Sears Tower. Any fans of Ferris Bueller may more rightly know that as that's what I call it. But he did climb the stairs there, which is obviously impressive. As somebody who's done a stair climb, that is tough. But he has had an uphill climb, just not there, but period, given that, again, this is seen as a blue state. He kind of eked out a win last time around, and that was when you had a Tea Party and Republican wave. That's not how it is projected to go in Illinois this time around. So there's that. Plus, he's also clearly made some missteps in what has really been gaining the headlines and at the top of them since a couple weeks ago when he had a debate in Springfield was a comment that he made about Tammy Duckworth's family's military history that was got national attention and was seen as really offensive. He says it's time to move on for that. He has apologized, but it doesn't seem as if headline writers really have. There was a debate on Friday night, but, I mean, yeah, it was a Friday night. You did not have a whole lot of people watching where he used his opening comments time to once again say, I'm sorry, and to cast himself as a moderate. I think the difference is that in this election, moderates don't necessarily need to look to him. It's not a Republican primary. Instead, they're looking over to Tammy Duckworth, who on paper has a pretty stellar record, despite Kirk trying to draw her down and take her down some in the polls, because one of the really rough marks on that record is a lawsuit, and her, the Chicago Tribune had a detailed article as well about her lack of being able to accomplish many of the veterans' initiatives that she has tried to say are her crowning achievements.
Joe, how did that play downstate, the senator's remarks about her heritage?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those things that you were surprised that he actually made that comment. I remember when I heard him, I was just as shocked. And I know he tried to apologize, and I think hopefully, I wonder if people are moving on from it. I mean, Tammy's been trying to be, she's been down here, she's been campaigning down here. I've seen her she had a swing through here a few weeks ago. She spent a few days in the Metro East speaking to people in East St. Louis and some of the smaller communities as well. So bring her economic message down here, and then she came back a couple weeks later, showing how she's she keeps hammering that Mark Kirk hasn't come down here since the NGA decision, and I know Kirk's campaign has been trying to say we've been on a bus tour, but I've been looking through my press releases saying when Kirk has come down here.
Haven't seen much of them. Amanda, back to you with regard to the state legislature now. Is the legislature in play this election?
Well, somewhat. I don't think that there's really much of an expectation that Republicans will win majorities. But if they are able to cut into Democratic supermajorities, that would allow Republicans to have more power, because Democrats would no longer be able to stick together and override a gubernatorial veto. So, yeah, this is a very important election when you look at the General Assembly. As usual, you have a whole lot of races that are uncontested. But we have more, I would say, contested races than usual, particularly because thanks to Rauner's money, which is largely funding the bulk of Republican spending, you have more seats that are truly competitions, that are truly contests. There are, you know, a dozen, maybe a couple dozen or so that you could see switch hands. That, of course, is on either side of the aisle, but it just takes really one in the Illinois House, where you have 71 Democrats right now. That is the bare minimum for that super majority, that veto-proof supermajority. So if they lose one, which is really kind of the expectation at this point in time, just given how many races, again, are in play, you're going to have a new dynamic in the Illinois legislature.
I think also it never really was a functioning supermajority.
No.
Jack Franks, who's a state rep in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, is a Democratic state rep from a very Republican area, and he always sometimes does not vote with the party. And he's not running for re-election. He's running for McHenry County board chairman. So that seat will probably flip Republican right there.
Right. That's one of them. There are, and it's he and there are, again, a couple of other Democrats that made that supermajority not quite functioning. Regardless of that, though, I think it changes, at the very least, the governor's message, because where you can get into the specifics and say, all right, it's not a functioning majority, there's still very much this thought that Madigan is the all-powerful. And you did see a couple of occasions where Democrats, even Franks, Representative Ken Duncan, Scott Drury are really the other two that are coupled in that, that say it's not quite a functioning supermajority. But you still could have that part of the Republican messaging. And there is one thought that maybe it would actually be worse for the governor to not be able to say that, because no longer can he say, hey, go ahead, Democrats, do it yourselves.
Another issue that you've been reporting on for quite a while and helping us out on, Amanda, has been the ongoing budget concerns in Illinois. How much influence, impact does that issue, is it having on this election cycle?
You got to figure it's having some, particularly with people who are truly in tune with politics, be it discussed for incumbents that weren't able to get the job done, or those that fall into, as we talked about, kind of this proxy war notion that are going to take a side in who they believe is at fault, whether they believe that it is Madigan, the great and powerful, or whether they believe that Rauner is the one who is new to the system. Never before has Illinois gone through a sort of budget impasse like this, and what's different? Well, he's at the top. So I think that there is that. Nonetheless, you did see the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute do a poll. And while people were bothered and say that they're affected by the budget impasse, you didn't have a whole lot. You didn't have enough of them, really, a majority saying that it is has had an actual impact on their lives. And I think in part that's because although this is historic and certainly been a drain on the state's credit rating and will have long-term repercussions in particular areas, unless you're somebody who depends on state services, the administration was really smart in how it, or careful anyway, in how it carried out this budget impasse so that those who are, so that there would be the least impact is possible on the voters that it needs.
I want to talk about the impact in this part of the state in just a moment, but I have to take a break. I'm talking with Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief for Illinois Public Radio, and Joe Bustos is with me in studio. He's a Belleville News Democrat reporter. We'll come back and get Joe's take on the downstate impact of that budget impasse in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief for the Illinois Public Radio, and Joe Bustos, a reporter for the Belleville News Democrat. Joe, back to you. What sort of an impact has this budget impasse had in your part of the state?
Well, I mean, when you talk to municipal officials, they'll talk about they were worried about whether they would get their state local distributive fund to them last year when they were discussing whether there would be a cut there. The Paul Simon Institute said 38% of people said they were affected by this budget impasse, and that's 38% of people of downstate. 46% of those people downstate said it was through social services. 37% say it was through economic circumstances. So it definitely does play a role. You hear it all the time at local county board meetings, or they're all always crying about the state and saying, hey, look, we have issues with the state. We're trying to keep our house in order.
Are people angry? Is it likely to change some people's votes?
I don't know. We'll see. I think it might play a role. Whether it switches some Democratic seats to Republican, I don't know, if it's or vice versa. That's definitely to be something that I'm looking forward to finding out whether that plays a role.
Yeah. What are some of the key races that you're looking at in this part of Illinois?
I think one that's very interesting is the Sheila Simon Paul Schimpf race. They are running for a state senate seat that is held by Dave Luchtefeld, who is retiring. He was gerrymandered out of his district. He didn't want to move back into the 58th, so he decided to just go ahead and retire. Sheila Simon is a former lieutenant governor. But she ran for comptroller in 2014 and lost to Judy Bartapinka. Paul Schimpf is a former U.S. Marine lawyer who actually helped on the Saddam Hussein trial and the prosecution of Saddam Hussein. He ran for attorney general in 2014 and lost. So it's an open seat that they're both going for. They both have supported term limits in some way or another. One thing that I find really interesting about that race, according to the end of the third quarter report, there was more than $1 million that went into that state Senate race. 5/6 of the money that Simon had was from John Cullerton's campaign committee, the Democratic Senate campaign committee. A little more than half of Paul Schimpf's money came from Republican sources. So there is definitely a fight for that seat.
Yeah, well, we're back to the money issue again, yeah. which is so important. While we're on the subject of Sheila Simon, a famous political name, obviously, in Illinois and certainly in this part of Illinois, another familiar name, political name, is Barsivik. Barsivik.
Barsivik.
Barsivik is Barsivik. The first to pronounce it. And he is running for the 12th Congressional District seat, currently held by Mike Boss, the Republican. Mm-hmm. How do you look at that race? Does he have a chance?
I think he's going to get a lot of his support's going to come from the St. Clair County area, from the Metro East. He's been spending a lot of time south of us, trying to shore up as much support there. What I found really interesting in that race is a lot of the traditional unions endorsements did go to Barsivik, but Mike Boss was able to grab the endorsements of the Illinois Education Association and the United Mine Workers, which are both traditional Democratic endorsements. So I find that really interesting that he was able to get those endorsements. So that says something about Mike Bost. And I think in the Illinois Education Association, some of their membership actually gets to have a little say in who they endorse rather than coming from the union leadership.
And you can never underestimate the value of incumbency when it comes to congressional races. Amanda, anything going on up in the northern part of the state with regard to potential changes in the congressional seating?
Yeah, you really do have races from the very top of Illinois on down that I think are telling, or at least the top of Illinois when you look at Chicago, one of the most expensive races pits Representative Mike McAuliffe. He's a Republican against a woman named Mary Marwig. So that has been, I think, very important for Republicans. There are a couple where I think you have both parties trying to protect the incumbent, saying that they will take care of their own and have really gone above and beyond in terms of what they are doing to get these candidates or keep these candidates more so in. So you've got that one. He is the sole Republican that has a district in the city of Chicago. And when you look at far downstate, there are a couple of competitive races. State Senator Gary Forby trying to hold on. He is a Democrat, but also even more so, I think, is kind of one of the races that Republicans are really trying to take from Democrats is the one that is held by John Bradley, given that he is a top lieutenant of Speaker Madigan. And then you have, of course, various races in the suburbs and a couple in central Illinois that are also seen as those that could flip.
We don't want to leave out the transportation lockbox amendment that's on the ballot statewide. What's your thought about that, Amanda? Is there any significant opposition to that?
There hasn't been any well-funded opposition. I do think, I haven't gone through, of course, every paper in the state of Illinois, but by and large, a lot of endorsements and civic organizations are saying vote no, but they're going up against a very well-funded campaign that has an odd alliance of both business and labor coming together. Really, what you see is that the people that are funding it are those that would be advantaged by more money going to roads because it would be more money in their pockets and more jobs for, say, the Chamber of Commerce and for labor for construction workers. So there are definitely some things to take into consideration. There are those that say that, you know, roads need money, particularly in Illinois where we have cold winters and you got lots of potholes, that keep that money that is supposed to be spent on transportation needs and put it on to into transportation needs. Critics, however, say, you know, this is maybe going a bit too far with that, pass a law, but do you want to make a permanent change, something as significant as putting in stone in the Constitution, putting one entity's needs over others? So why, you know, protect road money over money that should go to transportation or to foster children, for example? Other questions as well in terms of, was this written well, or are there going to be some unintended consequences with some money that is currently a charge put on your license plate when you renew it to that is meant for state parks? Instead, is that going to have to go to roads, and is that going to mean less state parks and further less flexibility at times such as this, when clearly Illinois is in a bit of a fiscal crisis? Do you want to take away legislators' ability to dip into the road fund if they need it in order to make ends meet otherwise and elsewhere?
Joe, what's support like for it in this part of the state?
I know the Belleville News Democrat endorsed. I think we recommended against it. Our editorial page did. But there's a big push for roads and road improvements down here as well from local leaders. So there's always going to be that thought as well.
Well, 48 hours from now, we'll know the answers to all the questions we've been asking. We're going to have to let it go at that. Thanks to Amanda Vinickley of Illinois Public Radio and Joe Bustos of the Belleville News Democrat for being with us. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.